I'll bet some of you are wondering why this chunk of wood is up here. It's not a new decoration. I would have had to check with the decorating chairperson before that, which is my wife. But I wanted to demonstrate that it's got an old saw. It's Perger cable. People call them a Sawzall, but that's a brand name. It's a reciprocating saw. And I really like it because it's got a handle on this side. You can grab firmly and you grab it up here. And I thought I'd do a little demonstration. And hold on here. It takes a while. Do I have any volunteers that would help me do this? There's something wrong there. Well, I think it's obvious, that needs power. That saw was made to function with a power outside itself. Just like you and me. Just like you and me. We're in a series called A New ID, that is who we are in Christ. And what he has done for us and what that means. And this week we're looking at the amazing benefit of having God's presence in us, with us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And we mentioned earlier the women's Bible study begins this week, studying a book called The Holy Spirit Unleashed in You, study the book of Acts. I found out from Jane Keller the other day that Kids Zone is starting today to talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And in a little while, in ACE, Vicki will be talking about the fruit of the Spirit too. So I think we got some good stuff coming up about the Holy Spirit. Today we want to look at what that means for you and I. And one of the things I think it means is, and I've been thinking about this, it occurs to me that there are people who give up on the Christian faith, that here learn what it is that, you know, they receive Jesus, and then they try to live the Christian life on their own power, grinding out the rules and regulations and thinking they've got to live the Christian life on their own. And I call it white-knuckle Christianity. And I think that may be some reason some people just plain give up on the Christian life because I can't do this. I just can't do it. I don't have the power. I don't have the strength. They don't know that they need to be plugged in. And that's what we want to look at today. So this starts 500 years before Jesus walked on earth, at least 500 years. And we see this in the book of Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and will give you a heart of flesh. And this is the cool part. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Amazing passage. That's quite a promise. And God told us about it 500 years before Jesus walked on earth. And when Jesus came, he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. And what a privilege it is for you and I to be living in the age of the Holy Spirit. In the age where we do not have to grind out the Christian life on our own. Very important. So just before Jesus was crucified, he told us about this. And we see it in John chapters 14 and 16. You can turn there if you'd like. We'll have it on the screen. If you're taking notes, this is the first point, Jesus' words. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? Let's look at John chapter 14. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Now, that word advocate in the Greek is paraclete, and it literally means called alongside to help. And so that is the Holy Spirit for us, called alongside to help. That's also translated because it means a lot. And so people translate it in different ways. Like advocate, we've seen in the New International Version, it's also translated counselor, comforter, and helper. And with all of those words, you get the sense of the idea of what the Holy Spirit brings to you and I as we live the Christian life. He's our advocate, our comforter, our counselor, and our helper. And I'm not sure if I'm saying this right. There were translators that they're translating the Kare, K-A-R-R-E, language in Equatorial Africa. And they struggled when it came to the word paraclete. They came, how are we going to translate this? How can we make the Holy Spirit understandable, this word, to the people of the Kare language? And they said the translators came across a group of porters going up to carry treks on their bundles. And we have a picture of something like that there. And they noticed that in the line of porters in this place where they were translating, that there was somebody who didn't have anything on their back or their head. They weren't carrying anything, and they assumed, well, he must be the boss. They found out later he wasn't the boss. He had a special job, and this is it. If anyone would fall over with exhaustion, they would be exerting too much, and they couldn't go on anymore, that person would come alongside them and take their load, put it on themselves, and keep going. Literally, in the Kare language, it's the one, this person who's the porter who does this is the one who falls down beside us. Now they had their word for paraclete in that language. I think helper, my own personal opinion is out of all these options, helper is probably the best, but they all have aspects of the truth. For example, the advocate is one who comes to our defense. The advocate defends us. The comforter comes alongside of us and helps us in our grief or our struggles or whatever. The counselor, you know, comes and whispers truth to us. We saw earlier in John 14, he's the spirit of truth. And then he's our helper. And don't we need an advocate, somebody who defends us, a counselor who tells us the truth, a comforter who comes to us when we're struggling with something, or a helper who can just play and help us do what we need to do. I think we all need those things, and we have that in God, the Holy Spirit, who lives in us. So how exactly is the Holy Spirit our helper? Let's look at, if you take notes, letter A is presence. He is our presence. He is God with us. Molly Lee was a passenger on a flight from Charlotte, North Carolina, to New York City. And she observed another passenger a couple seats ahead of her that was clearly uncomfortable in this flight. They probably hadn't flown that very much. And each noise or each movement startled her. And she literally started crying when she was on the plane. And along came one of the flight attendants, Floyd Dean Shannon. Here's his picture here. He noticed how disturbed she was and came over. And Molly Lee, observing this, says this. He was just so reassuring, so calming, and he said, you know what, I've got you. I'm just going to be here. If you need anything, you let me know. And with every little noise, she'd be like, what was that? Well, that's just the jetway going apart, or the flaps on the plane lowering, and he would explain those things to her. And he said, and he held her hand. And Molly observes that really helped her. He didn't have to do that. Just see someone extend their heart like that to a stranger was beautiful, and she had to capture it. Molly Lee was the one who took this picture, and I think that it went viral at some point. That guy sat with her for 10 minutes and held her hand while the plane was taking off. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit's presence with us. When we need that presence, the Holy Spirit is there. Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away. And you can imagine the fright, the struggle that they had with that, this guy that they've been with for these 3 years and walking with him, and he's done everything. And now he's leaving. What do you mean he's leaving? And Jesus said, don't worry. My presence will go with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. 24/7 presence. Here's John chapter 14. And we'll look at that. The Spirit of truth. We saw that. The world cannot accept him. It sees neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. As Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit will be in you and me. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What a great promise. That's the presence of God. Jesus was called Emmanuel in the Old Testament, right? Emmanuel, you know that means God with us. And he really is God with us. He's God come down to earth. But that changed when he ascended up into heaven and he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you. And that really makes a ton of sense because physical Jesus can only be with so many people at one time, right? But spiritual Jesus can be with every single one of us believers at any time, night or day, around the world. That is why the Holy Spirit has come. And that's why Jesus said, it's better that I go, that the Holy Spirit comes. Excellent. That is God with us. He is our presence of God, the Holy Spirit. The letter B is just reminders. The Holy Spirit brings reminders to us. He brings us the truth, and then he reminds us of the truth. Especially as we get older, don't we need reminders? Anybody here need a reminder? I know that. You might not know the name Angelo Dundee. Does anybody remember the name Angelo Dundee? You know that name? Who is he a trainer for? Muhammad Ali. Yeah, we all know the name Muhammad Ali, probably one of the most famous boxers in the world. Angelo Dundee was in Muhammad Ali's corner, literally. He was his corner man. You've seen pictures in the movies of the guy in the corner of the ring, and when the boxer comes back in between a round and he's, you know, fixing something or giving him instructions, hit him with the left, you know, and that kind of thing. So Angelo Dundee was his corner man. And he was the one who trained Ali to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. And he also trained, let me get this number right, 15 other world boxing champions. That's pretty impressive. What does a corner man do? A corner man trains. A corner man reminds. He counsels. He encourages. And he challenges. That's what a corner man does when you're out there in the fight. And the Holy Spirit is your corner man when you are in the fight of life, when you are out there working, when you are out there doing things you have struggled doing. The Holy Spirit is in your corner, like Angelo Dundee was for many champions. Let's look at John 14 again. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Sometimes when we get a little punch drunk and we're in the fight and our heads, we're swimming like that and we kind of lose focus, the Holy Spirit says, stay focused. And he reminds us of things that he said to us before, just like a good corner man would. This is also John chapter 16. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he's made known to you. So Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus and the Holy Spirit work together in terms of bringing us information and reminders that are in a very timely way. Excellent. So also another reason, these verses here, when Jesus said he will guide you into all the truth, I think that's one of the reasons you and I can trust the scriptures that we have. Because Jesus said ahead of time, I am going to remind you. And I've heard people criticize the scriptures to me. Well, they couldn't remember all that stuff. They couldn't, you know, they had to write it all down. How do you know they got it straight? Especially John's gospel, who was written so many years after that Jesus walked. Well, John could have taken notes. And the Holy Spirit reminded them, inspired them to what they were going to write. I think it's one of the reasons, these verses are one of the reasons we can trust the scriptures have been given to us, because God helped the whole process and reminded those who wrote the scriptures what they were to write, and he reminds us as well. He reminds us of things we need to do. And let me ask you, has anybody here ever been reminded of a particular passage when you're in a situation? And in a tough situation, something comes to mind. Anybody? Yeah, the Holy Spirit does that for us, does he not? Absolutely. Very good. Just when we need it. Holy Spirit of truth, and he reminds us of those things. Letter C is this: testifying. And this is good. This is good news. When you and I talk to anybody else about Jesus, we are not on our own. That is not all up to us. We have help. And here it is in John chapter 15. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify. That, to me, is really good news. Next time you talk to somebody about Jesus in any way, and you remind them of what Jesus has done for you in your life and what he will do for them, you're not alone. And it's not all up to you. It's not all up to me to try to convince somebody, twist their arms, or beg and plead that they believe in Jesus. You just let the Holy Spirit testify. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. You just put the facts out there and let it go, and let the Holy Spirit do the rest of the work. And the next point is very similar. This is letter D, conviction. I believe the Holy Spirit not only will testify when we're talking to other people about Jesus, he prepares them with conviction. And I think this is the case in my life. I mean, I decidedly felt guilty about my sin when I went away to college. And that was the setup for when somebody shared Jesus with me when I was 17, first year of college. And ended up, that prepared the way for me. I was ready to hear those things. And this is where this comes from in John chapter 16. But very truly, I tell you, the words of Jesus here, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong, that's conviction, about sin and righteousness and judgment. He will prove the world to be in the wrong. I expect that those to whom Jesus is calling will have a sense of their sin or a sense of their need. And if Jesus is calling them to that, and the Holy Spirit is preparing them, he is preparing them perhaps about their sin or in the lack of righteousness or the impending judgment on their lives if they do not turn to him. That is all preparation work, conviction work, that they listen to and receive the gospel. I think the Holy Spirit does a heavy lifting. We just have to get the truth out there, tell somebody about what the truth is. The Holy Spirit testifies and convicts, and we just have to let it go and trust God will do the rest, and that is pretty cool. Finally, the Holy Spirit, it will help us in an entirely personal way, and these are not Jesus' words, it's Paul's, but I think they're really impactful. And this is pretty amazing. Letter E is praying. Have you ever wondered just how to pray for yourself? Just what to pray for yourself or somebody else. How can I pray for that, my brother? How can I pray for my family in one way? Or what do I need? And I'm getting a little confused on that. John B. McGarvey tells this story. One day our church copier broke down. Ever feel that way around a church copier? He said, I'm not technically minded, but I called the repair shop to see if they could tell me what the problem was and if I could do anything about it. I quickly discovered, however, that I didn't even know how to describe what was broken. I didn't know the names of the parts or what was specifically wrong. I just knew the copier didn't work, and we needed it to work. So the repair shop sent out a technician. While he was working on the machine, he also called the shop. But unlike me, he knew how to describe what was needed. He used words I didn't understand, but the person at the shop sure did. And the copier was then repaired. He says this, my need was met because someone came and communicated to headquarters in words I could not understand or express. That's the Holy Spirit. Communicates in words that we don't get. He knows how to pray for us. And here's the passage I'm referring to, Romans chapter 8. In the same way, and this got to be encouraging to you. It's encouraging to me. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Is that not good news? We are being prayed for. God is praying for us. And if the Spirit of God knows what God wants to do in our lives, he understands that. It's along the lines of the will of God. Be encouraged, please. God is praying for you and for me. That's great news. All right, that's what Jesus and a little bit of Paul, but mostly Jesus, said about the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And I think that's pretty cool. But did Jesus just talk to us about the Holy Spirit? I think he did more than talk to us. He modeled life by the Holy Spirit. That's point number two, Jesus' example. I believe Jesus gave us an example of not only how to live, but how to minister as well. And it's not in our own strength, it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people think, well, Jesus had a distinct advantage in living life because he was God, right? You ever thought that? I mean, Jesus is God. He knew what to do. He had everything he needed. But I think that Jesus purposefully set that aside so he could live as a man and live in dependence on God and so show us how we can live in dependence on God as well. He laid that aside. You may remember this from Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at that. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I believe Jesus set aside all the glory, all the privilege of being God. He put that aside for a time being to show you and I what it would be like to walk with God, walk in dependence on him, have to pray and ask for help like he did so many times. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. And the privilege of God he laid aside so you and I could see what it was like to depend on the life of the Holy Spirit like he did. Did Jesus need the Holy Spirit? No, he was God. He didn't, but he depended, I believe, on the Holy Spirit as he lived his life for our sakes. Let's look at this at Jesus' baptism. This is Luke chapter 3. There it is, Jesus at his baptism. Not technically, but that's a reasonable facsimile of that. All right, here's Luke chapter 3. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." That's a real Trinitarian moment, by the way. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all together there. And I think it's also worthwhile to note, and this is a sidebar, that God the Father was pleased with the Son before he did anything. Before he performed anything. And I think you and I, as the children of God, need to remember that. That our Father is pleased with us because we're his kids, not because we perform. But anyway, Jesus was anointed, baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that that Holy Spirit empowered Jesus to do everything that God wanted him to do. The book of Acts just might corroborate this. This is Acts chapter 10, speaking about Jesus. And they were saying how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Now, did Jesus need the Holy Spirit or power? No, he didn't need the Holy Spirit and power. He was God. He had everything he needed. But, I said before, he set that aside and God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power so he could do the things he did as an example for you and I. I think that's pretty amazing. That's our example. That's how we live. We do what Jesus did. Filling of the Holy Spirit on our lives and go ahead and do what God wants us to do. But wait, there's more. Right before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his followers, don't go rush out into ministry, but wait. Don't go out there without this one thing. Jesus was the first one who said, but wait, there's more. I'm only following his example. Here it is in Acts chapter 1. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus basically saying, don't go out there. Don't go to any nation and preach. Don't go out there and try to heal anybody. Don't go and minister to anybody. Don't say anything in my name until you have the filling of the Holy Spirit. Wait for that. Then you go out and you go in power. So he not only spoke about what the Holy Spirit was to do when he came, he modeled this. Don't do anything. Wait until you're filled with the Spirit. Then go out under the leading of God, not on your own strength, not in your own power, but on the strength and power and leading of God, the Holy Spirit. All right. That is the example of Jesus, and I think it's a very worthy example for you and I. Now, Paul recorded how important this is. You know, oftentimes Paul in his letters in the New Testament translate and interpret things in the Gospels to help us understand. We get that in his letters, and that's the case with the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is point number 3, Paul's charge. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote to us about this primarily in the book of Romans and Galatians. And he joins Jesus with this same emphasis on the Holy Spirit. What language did Paul use to challenge us by? I mean, in terms of what we do with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at it. Letter A is this, be baptized by the Spirit. We saw this just as Jesus is about to leave the earth. Acts chapter 1, we read it. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father's promised, which you've heard me speak about. John baptized with water. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the word baptize means to dip. And so you're going to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. You're going to be covered in the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit lives inside of each of us. If we've said yes to Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit within us. And I believe that's the filling every believer has in Christ and we need. We are covered with that. But there's more. But wait, there's more. Letter B, be filled by the Holy Spirit. Don't just be covered on the outside. Be overflowing from the inside out of the Holy Spirit. And this being filled is the language Luke used when he describes what happened in Acts chapter 2. When they all had the Holy Spirit come upon them, they were filled with the Spirit. He says, uses those words. That's when they had tongues of fire. And all the excitement that came with that. And Paul compares it later on to having too much wine. I just got a phone call. Excuse me. I have new hearing aids. And my phone calls go straight to my hearing aids. And so you didn't hear it, but I rang. I tried to turn it off. Somebody answered in a foreign voice. Excuse me, who is Robert there, please? Just a little distracting. That hasn't happened for a while. All right. Paul compares it to being inebriated, too much wine. That's what he says in Ephesians chapter 5. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. You can be drunk on the Holy Spirit. That's fine, but don't be drunk on wine. And I wonder what being inebriated in the Holy Spirit might look like. I think there might be an example, Acts chapter 2, when they were so happy, so thrilled with the filling of the Holy Spirit that people accused them of being drunk at 9 a.m. in the morning. And then Peter popped up with his message at that point. I bet that was a happy feeling. And I can't wait for the video on that. I don't know about you. I am praying and hoping we get video of what happened in the Bible. So we can see Acts chapter 2 in when we get there. And we can see what Noah and the ark looked like or the crossing of the Red Sea. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you. I think it's going to be pretty cool. So we'll see when we get the video on that. Letter C is this, walk and be led by the Spirit. Look, if Holy Spirit is God, and He is, He cares about the direction of our lives, and we ought to be led by the Holy Spirit. We ought to walk in the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you and I are desperate for direction. And I don't know about you, about taking a new job or marrying somebody or what am I going to do with my life? What should I do in education? And you're begging God, God, I want your direction. But other times when you have an idea of what you want, you don't necessarily want the leading of God, right? You'd rather kind of ignore the leading of God because you're pretty sure I want to go in this direction. That happened not too long ago. We don't want to ignore God's leading. It happened, described in a book. Ken Sandy wrote a book called Resolving Everyday Conflict, and he tells this story. One day during my morning run, I noticed a blind woman walking on the other side of the street with her seeing eye dog. It was a beautiful golden retriever. As I was about to pass them, I noticed a car blocking a driveway a few paces ahead of them. At that moment, the dog paused and gently pressed his shoulder against the woman's leg, signaling her to turn so they could go around the car. I'm sure she normally followed his lead, but that day she didn't seem to trust him. She probably walked this route many times before and knew this is not the normal place to make a turn. Whatever the cause, she wouldn't move to the side and instead gave the dog a signal again, let's move forward. And then the dog didn't do it. She angrily ordered the dog forward. When the dog declined, her temper flared. Ken says, I was about to speak up and say something when once more the dog put the shoulder against the leg to turn and she kicked the dog. Then she impulsively walked forward right into a car. When she realized she felt this is a car, she realized what had happened. She dropped to her knees, threw her arms around the dog and sobbed apologies into the dog's ear. we do not want to ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Does the Holy Spirit not, in so many ways we're blind, are we not, in terms of what to do and where to go, what to say? But the Holy Spirit knows what's ahead. This is what it says in Galatians chapter 5. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you're not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So don't ignore when the Holy Spirit, like that golden retriever, the little nudge against the leg, don't ignore those things. Talk to the Lord about them. Don't fight it. Follow the direction and leading of the Holy Spirit. Paul also used very similar language to this about keeping in step with the Spirit. And I think keeping in step with the Spirit is saying, walk with the one who leads you. Follow the one who loves you and knows what's best for you. And this is what he says in Galatians 5. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And when we do that, we're going to have peace of mind. And I think you and I want to live with by peace of mind. Letter D is this mind governed by the Holy Spirit. And I think peace of mind comes from that. In other words, let your thoughts be governed by the Holy Spirit. And that, and our thoughts always determine our actions, don't they? We have to think it before we do it. Let your mind be governed by the Holy Spirit. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 8. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God, God's law, nor can it do so. How's your mind governed? How's your mindset these days? Earlier this week, I think it was last Monday, I got up. And it was Monday morning, and I was cranky. And I went into my time with the Lord then, and I felt unruly and cranky, and I didn't want to be there. And here it's Monday, and I got to go another week, and I just didn't know what was up. But I'm sitting there with God. I didn't want to do any of the stuff that I normally do. And I started talking to God about that. I don't know, I'm just feeling bad. I don't know why. And I described what I was feeling. God, you know. And then I asked him to help me out, because I just can't do this on my own. I can't change my mindset. And he brought some verses to my mind and helped me. And my attitude just changed like that. So grateful for the work of God in my life like that. And that brings life and peace. The mind governed by the Spirit is a lot like what Paul said in the book of Colossians when he said, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And I think your mindset is just as a positive thing. So knowing God's word and praying that back to him can certainly help us set our mind on things above as it should. Finally, letter E is this, put sin to death by the Holy Spirit. Now this is huge. This is the thing that has gathered my attention for a number of years. I don't know about you. I have my fair share of struggling with temptation, with lethargy, with impatience, with laziness, with overeating, being critical. I mean, all kinds of things I struggle with. And if I had to white knuckle it on my own, I would not make it. I absolutely know I would not make it. And a few years back, I went back to visit family in Minnesota, and I was on my own. I don't believe Debbie was with me. And we were at one of the kids, one of my niece's homes, and we had a big meal, and so the whole family was gathered, a bunch of people there. And the climate change came up in the conversation. And I began to argue with everybody about climate change. I felt like I was on my own. They were all against me. I was rude. I was sullen. I said things I shouldn't have said. And on the way home, leaving that house to go back to where I was staying, I was kind of, what in the world happened to me? I was trying to figure out what did I just do? And then I thought, I had not prayed that morning. I had not prayed. Now, normally I do that every morning. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I need you today. I want to depend upon you. But I was on vacation, or I was on a trip. I was out of my comfort zone. I was in a place, and I forgot. I simply forgot. And what I found out was the Spirit of Rob on full display that evening. I had to apologize to my pagan brother Dave the next morning for that very thing. I cannot defeat sin on my own. I cannot white-knuckle my life and make it look like God's life. Like I said earlier, I think people who try to live the Christian life like using a power tool without it plugged in eventually give up. I just can't do this. And I don't want anybody here to give up because they're not plugged into the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. Every morning I pray, given my bad examples, of, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I don't want to live my day today without you. And I pray for numerous things, humility and service and a variety of things. Because I know I can't live the Christian life on my own. I have to depend every day. How do you get the help of the Holy Spirit? How do you get all this stuff? You simply ask. Because you know this is what it says in Scripture. This is what God wants. And you say, God, I'm praying according to your will. This is what you want for me. Put that in my life. I need that today. And I think it's kind of like manna. The people of Israel had to go out and gather the manna every day. It was fresh every day. I think a filling of the Holy Spirit is like the manna that we need, the reminders and everything else, being filled with the Holy Spirit. You ask, God will answer. I'm confident of that. So these phrases, I think there's a lot of overlap in there. If they're not very specific, but there's overlap. Being filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, have your mind governed by the Spirit, put to death the misdeeds of the body by the Spirit. A lot of admonition there. Good admonition. You couple that with the words of Jesus. We talked about, I'm sending the Spirit and it's good for you. And the example of Jesus, who was baptized in the Spirit and lived his life in the filling of the Holy Spirit under the direction of God. This is the way forward, people. This is the way we live the Christian life. Now, notice I have not said anything about the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit. Those are totally other subjects and will take way too long for that. So this is all about you and I have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We should depend on Him every day. And we will end up living like Jesus lived. That's good news, isn't it? What a privilege to have God with us 24/7. His presence with us. We're not alone. He prays for us. He's there to counsel and train and comfort and be our advocate, our defender. This is who you and I are in Christ. This is who we are in Jesus, the Holy Spirit within us, power to do everything we need to do. That is cool. And when we are plugged in, unlike this power tool here, we can do much more than what I can do with my own strength here. Let's pray. Lord, your salvation is so amazing. And you knew all this. You knew we could not live our lives on our own. You knew that we just didn't have it in ourselves. So you sent the Holy Spirit to be in our corner, training, reminding, counseling, comforting, challenging. Thank you, Lord, for the leading and filling of the Holy Spirit. Give us grace to depend on that so we follow in Jesus' footsteps. Help us to be not ignore the gentle nudge of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We're going to do something a little different in our closing today. We're going to do Aaron's benediction from number 6, 24 to 26. And there's an echoing that's going to happen. And so this side is going to join Tidra and Kayla. And this side is going to join Debbie and I. So please stand and join us.
Lord, bless me and keep me.
join us for fellowship in the back fellowship hall.